You'll notice there's just one little short scripture that we listed for the second reading this morning, but you're not going to get by that easy. That's much space as Barb had to put it in the bulletin. So our scripture reading this morning, 1 Samuel 7, 12. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." 1 Corinthians 16, 22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be accursed. O Lord, come. The Gospel of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. The book of Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, there are a lot of places in the Bible that I think sometimes we pass over real quickly, and there's little small verses and there are strange words that it's easy to just gloss over. There's ancient expressions that we don't fully understand at first glance, and sometimes I find myself wondering if there aren't some hidden truths in Scripture tucked away in some of these overlooked places. I was reading a Bible verse the other day, and I ran across the word Maranatha. Now, I'm sure some of you, probably a lot of you, have heard that word and know what it means, but it was kind of new to me. Not so much that I hadn't read it in the Bible, but that I had just never given it much thought. And that got me thinking about other unusual words in the Bible, words that by themselves sound kind of cryptic or mysterious. And I came up with these three words: a Hebrew word, Ebenezer, a Greek word, anathema, and an Aramaic word, Maranatha. And the more I thought about these three words, I realized that together they seem to describe the entire Christian journey, looking back, looking inward, looking upward. And it reminded me of something our own church has embraced for many years now. Our church has had kind of a simple motto: looking up, looking in, and looking out. I think maybe these three ancient Bible words say something very similar. Ebenezer, remembering God's faithfulness. Anathema, remembering how much we need God's grace. Maranatha, remembering our final hope is always in Christ. These three truths become even more meaningful the longer we live and the older we get. The word Ebenezer comes from the Old Testament. Israel had gone through years of struggle and confusion and fear and failure, and God finally gave them victory over the Philistines. And the prophet Samuel set up a stone of remembrance, and he said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." That's in 1 Samuel. And he called the place Ebenezer. It means stone of help, or simply, "The Lord has helped us thus far." Now, I suspect many of us in this room will understand that word more deeply now than when we were younger. Because when we were young, we often thought we were carrying ourselves. But as the years have passed, we finally begin to realize that God was carrying us all along. Think about it. If you look back over your life now, can't you see His hand at work in your life? Can't you remember dark moments when you thought, "I don't know how I'll ever get through this"? And yet, somehow you did, because the Lord helped you. Some here have survived financial hardships in their life. Some have suffered serious illnesses. Some have experienced deep disappointments. Many here have endured the heartbreak of burying a spouse or parents or siblings or dear friends. And yet, here you are in church. You're here, you're still worshiping, you're still praying, and you're still trusting in Jesus. Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us this far. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is the world often celebrates excitement, but God often celebrates endurance. Some of the greatest sermons are never preached from pulpits. Some are preached quietly through faithful lives, through elderly believers who continue trusting in God after heartbreak, through widows who still bow their heads in prayer each morning, through tired Christians who still come to worship because they love Jesus. And that kind of faithfulness matters. The world may overlook it, but heaven does not. God remembers every prayer you've prayed for your children, every hymn sung through tears, every lonely night you entrusted to Him, every quiet act of kindness that no one noticed. Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us this far. And then we come to another word, a little heavier word, anathema. In the New Testament, the word anathema appears beside Maranatha in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. This is in 1 Corinthians. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Anathema means under judgment. Now, we don't hear words like that very often. Our world prefers messages that are soft and comfortable. But the Bible speaks honestly about eternity. And before that truth causes us to look at anyone else, it ought to cause us to look at ourselves. The Christian life is not simply about looking around us. It's also about looking honestly within. Lord, search my heart. Lord, forgive me. Lord, keep me close to you. This is the lesson of anathema. Not panic, not despair, but spiritual honesty. Paul is reminding us that every human soul must eventually respond to Jesus Christ. Some will receive Him, some will reject Him, some will love Him, and some will turn away. And Paul reminds us that eternity is serious. Every life will eventually answer the question, what have I done with Jesus Christ? When we were young, eternity felt far away. Yet age changes that. And I think we've all noticed it. The years begin to move a lot faster. The funerals become more frequent. Doctor visits become common. And suddenly we realize what James meant when he said, life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And because eternity is real, the gospel matters deeply. Jesus did not merely come to improve our lives, he came to save our souls. The cross itself reminds us of both the love of God and the seriousness of sin. And yet there is hope, because the same Jesus who will one day judge the world is also the Savior who still welcomes sinners today. Grace is still offered. Mercy is still available. Forgiveness is still possible. And the invitation is still open. You know, one of the blessings of growing older is that many of the illusions of life begin to fade away. We realize we cannot save ourselves. We realize money cannot buy peace. We realize that accomplishments do not satisfy the soul. We realize that human strength fades. And perhaps that's why older believers often possess a deeper humility and a tenderness towards God. because they know how much they need him. And maybe that is one reason that growing older often deepens our appreciation of grace. You know, I almost can't write a sermon or talk about lessons from the Bible, and I've talked about him before, but I always have to think about Harold Moss. I think he set so many examples and was such a good role model for so many. You know, Harold was a FBI agent for years. Harold knew how to be tough, but he always tempered that firmness with compassion. Harold was a judge. I've watched him. Harold knew how to administer punishment, but Harold was always fair. Harold made a lot of wise investments during his career, and he accumulated significant wealth. And yet he and Ruth lived in a modest home. They drove an older car, and they supported many, many charitable organizations, including this church. Yet, to this day, many folks who are still benefiting from all his generosity don't even recognize his name. I think Harold and Ruth understood something that takes many of us years to learn. What we possess is not nearly as important as what we do with it, and who we become while it is entrusted to us. Harold's position did not make him better than anyone else. His money could not purchase eternity. His accomplishments could not eliminate his need for the grace of God, but he could use what God had given him to help others, and he did. Perhaps this is part of growing older faithfully, learning to hold the things of this world a little more loosely because we know they were never meant to be our final treasure. Then comes the word Maranatha, perhaps the most hopeful word of the three. It means, come, Lord Jesus. The early Christians, they just loved this word. When persecution came, they said, Maranatha. When loved ones died in Christ, they said, Maranatha. When the world seemed dark and uncertain, they said, Maranatha. It was a cry of hope, a reminder that this world is not the end of the story. And perhaps that word grows sweeter the older we get. There's a season in life when heaven no longer seems like a distant doctrine. It begins to feel more like a promise. The longer we live, the more we discover that this world cannot be our final home. And that makes the words of Jesus even more precious. I will come again. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And then he said these meaningful words, I will come again. The Christian faith is not built merely on memories of the past. It's built on promises for the future. And maybe that promise becomes even more precious when life reminds us how temporary this world is. So many in our congregation have lost loved ones, someone with whom they may have shared life's adventures and challenges. And there's a loneliness that only they can understand. Sometimes the world assumes that grief eventually disappears, but grief does not work that way. Love leaves deep footprints on the heart. Grief has a way of reminding us that love matters. Sometimes it returns unexpectedly in an old photograph, a familiar song, an anniversary, or a quiet evening. And for just a moment, the absence is felt all over again, not because faith is weak, but because love runs deep. Yet, hear the promise in Psalm 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Nigh unto them, near, very near. And one glorious day, every separation will end forever. The Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Can you imagine that day? With everything that's going on in the world today, after you watch the news and all the things that are transpiring, can you even begin to imagine a world with no more death, no more sorrow, no more separation, a world where every tear is wiped away or every burden laid down? In the end, the best thing of all, though, is we will see Jesus face to face. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Well, as I thought about these three ancient words this week, I realized how well they connect with our own church's heart and mission. For generations now, the church has tried to keep looking up towards Christ, looking in at our own hearts, looking out at the world around us. And perhaps these three ancient words can remind us why that motto matters. Looking back, we see His faithfulness in the lives, in our lives, and nearly a century and a half of life in this church. Looking within, we see our need. Looking up, we see hope. And looking out, we point others to the same Savior who has carried us thus far. Ebenezer reminds us to remember God's faithfulness. How many times over the last 140 plus years has He carried this church? How many of prayers have been prayed right here in this place? How many souls have been comforted here? How many tears wiped away? How many hymns sung? And how many sermons preached? How many acts of kindness quietly offered? Even in my relatively short time in the church, as I look out now over the sanctuary, I can still see so many faces of friends who once worshiped here. There were people who laughed and cried and ate cookies and brownies in the fellowship hall, who brought casseroles and salads to the potlucks, who devoted countless hours caring for this building. Their fingerprints are still all over this church. Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us thus far. Anathema, remembering our need for God's grace. There are still people who need Christ, still souls who need grace, still people searching for hope. And the church must never stop pointing people toward Jesus. And then Maranatha reminds us where our final hope truly rests. Not in buildings, not in programs, not in earthly security. Our final hope is in Christ, the one who promised us, "I will come again." Do you know how the Bible ends in Revelation chapter 22? With a prayer, not a complicated prayer, not a long prayer, just this: "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Maranatha, the final heartbeat of Scripture, the church longing for Christ, the weary longing for rest, the faithful longing for home. And perhaps after a lifetime of walking with God, these words become even sweeter than ever before. One day Christ will return, one day faith will become sight, one day every burden carried by God's people will fall away forever. And on that day, no believer will regret trusting in Jesus, no widow will regret holding on to faith on lonely nights, no elderly saint will regret years spent praying, worshiping, and serving Christ. But until that glorious day comes, we keep walking forward. Looking back, we can say, "The Lord has helped us thus far." Ebenezer. Looking within, we can pray, "Lord, keep me near." Anathema. Looking up, we can rejoice, "Come, Lord Jesus." Maranatha. Until then, we remember His faithfulness, walk humbly before Him, and live in hope of His coming. Ebenezer, anathema, Maranatha. Amen.